Knockout Fade Out. That's my favorite movie.
the Fofo?
The Fofo. Yeah. All right, man. Really loving the Motown March Madness that we're getting down on. This is a great idea, man.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is way better than Black History.
Well, it is history for that part of the country, right? There weren't a lot of, you know, M&Ms from the Motown, if you know what I'm saying.
Good call.
And I, good call. You know, we're so cyclical with our culture, just round, man. I mean, like, the 70s kind of had that black in your face revolution with the culture and the music and the movies. We had blaxploitation films and, yeah. You know, Shaft, right? He was the badass detective.
Shut your mouth.
Shaft was awesome, dude. And they dominated music, man. Like, come on. Motown was it for a long time. It's crazy.
I know. When you really go look at all the songs, it's crazy. But, dude, I don't mean to go back to this.
Hey.
But that movie of the magical Negroes.
I knew you wouldn't be able to let it go. It's a weird one after you dip into it, actually.
Because the idea that the scariest thing in the world is an uncomfortable white man. Dude, take it. Dude, they're not arresting. They're only arresting white people at this point.
Sort of. It's about to reverse course. I'm seeing a big pendulum swing now. I think as fast as we went into the... Oh, man. Was that me?
Sorry.
Was that you?
No, that was me. Yeah.
Man, and that's a classic ringtone, too. I haven't heard that. I
didn't know my phone was connected to my computer. My bad. Dude,
I thought we time-warped through the CERN machine or something and ended up...
No, but dude, I'm just saying, when you turn on the news in Chicago, it's every day you have these young... they're young black teens that are just ravaging this city. It is because there's no repercussions for them. We've created this like system of laws where if you're black or brown, we're not chasing you, we're not arresting you, we're letting you go with no bail. You know what I mean?
That's
but
right.
If you're a white man who cheated on his taxes, now we like completely flip the script, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But like I was trying to say, I'm sensing a swing in the pendulum, and I do suspect that we are going to head into the Giuliani age, where it was the stop and frisk, and we're gonna just sweep through the city and jail everybody who looks at us cockeyed. You know, that's basically how you get to the point where we were in the 90s, where it was fun to visit the cities again.
Yeah,
you had
the 90s was bad. It was like the end of the 90s when they cleaned it up, and then early 2000s,
yeah.
Everything was good.
That's right. Yeah, it was nice and clean. So they're going to have to, you know, the summer of love came hot and heavy, and they're going to have to do it pretty much as fast and as swiftly to get us out of this kind of generation of love we've been experiencing here for 4 years, right?
Yeah.
How's the love out there in the cities, folks? Are you feeling the love?
How's Portland doing?
Well, speaking of flicks, man, Emma and I decided, you know, because... this weekend is the Academy Awards, right? So we threw on the Killers of the Flower Moon. Did you see this at all?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
All right. No. It's the Martin Scorsese movie. It's a true story about this like rancher who happened to be in this part of Oklahoma or whatever where the Osage tribe discovered oil and became one of the wealthiest tribes in America. And this dude basically systematically killed everybody in the tribe to try and take the money and the oil.
Hmm.
It's a pretty fascinating story. It's a true story. It's got Leo DiCaprio in it. There's some fantastic cameos, great acting.
Leo's in it?
Leo is in it. He plays, I would argue, a bad guy. It's kind
what
of
what is the movie?
Killers of the Flower Moon. All right.
Mm.
We watched it on Apple Plus, I think, is where it was streaming. And We threw it on Friday. We got about an hour in. I knew ahead of time it was a big one, so I was slotting it for a two-night affair. We got
3.5 hours.
Mike, man. Yes, that's what I was about to say. We did about an hour 15 on Friday, and then last night we're like, yeah, let's toss it back on and finish it off. We're about 2 hours in, and both of us are like looking at our watches. You know, we're we're getting up to get some blood flowing to the feet. I'm like, what's happening here? Is this movie ever going to end? Why are they doing this to me? This is we've paused it now 4 times. We ate some food, took some smoke breaks. I mean, this was a long affair. You're right, 3.5 hours. I would be fuming if I paid $50 or more for 2 tickets and all the shenanigans that go along with the movie theater experience to sit there and watch this. No intermission? Dude, this has gone too far.
Too far, dude. 3.5 hours. That's two movies.
Man, there's so many scenes, too, where it's like, all right, I get it. It's the Indian fellas dancing in the firelight with the moon. And yeah, it's very cinematic, you know, beautiful. You could have done that for 5 seconds and gone on to the next scene. Like, I didn't need 5 minutes of that.
93 Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, everybody loves it. Oh, and I guarantee the main actress, she's a true native. Right, Native American, so
Lily Gladstone.
Gonna win the award, I guarantee it. It's gonna be a huge...
Robert De Niro's in it?
Dude, he too plays the wicked rancher fella. It's an enjoyable romp for the moments where, you know, the plot is moving along, but man, does it fucking drag, dude. 3.5 hours, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that's way too long, man.
I didn't know what I signed up for. No, we created our own 3 intermissions and it was too long.
They got to start doing intermission at the movie theaters.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, I
don't even go 3.5 hours at work without smoking.
Well, dude, we chatted about it a few episodes ago, how, you know, Emma was just immediately saying, we're definitely not going to go see Dune. It's way too long automatically. And that's 2:45, I think, something like that. And I couldn't think of the name at the time, but we were perusing upcoming features, and she reminded me of it. The new Ghostbusters sequel is 107 minutes long.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to go see it. It's under 2 hours.
Thank you.
Guaranteed it's going to be entertaining. Bill Murray makes an appearance.
It's just above an hour and a half long. Like, thank you. Finally.
Dude, you get 90 to 120 minutes. That's it. If you can't tell me the story in 90 to 120 minutes, I don't want it. I
would, you know, they used to do the director's cut. So you'd get the theatrical version, which was the 90 minutes. Then you'd get the director's cut, which was like the 2 hour version of Blade Runner with the extra dramatic scenes. And it was cool. I love the director's cut. But what we now need is the viewer's cut. So you get the director's theatrical version, which is like nearly 4 hours long, but they should also put out another film that's the viewer cut. We trimmed it all down to 90 minutes for the average Joe who just doesn't have enough time to dedicate to the theater that long.
You could call it the meat and potatoes.
The meat, the meat and potatoes, dude.
Is the meat and potatoes cut?
Maybe we could start doing this on the side. We'll start making Dude Man cuts. You know, we'll just trim all the bullshit out.
For the smoker in a hurry, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right, man. And during the boring parts, you just put up a blank screen that says smoke bowl now, right? We fixed the movie for you,
but you leave in the audio, so you're just hearing gay music and Leo DiCaprio talking, and it's like smoke now.
Oh man. Yeah, dude, these movies, too long. I couldn't believe the experience. Just in my own home, I felt like I was a prisoner to this thing. Like,
but yeah, because now you're, like, invested, too. You know, now I'm, like, 2.5 hours into this movie. I got to see how it ends, you know?
Well, it ruined my weekend. That's all I'm going to say.
Thanks, Leo.
Well, speaking of fantasy and films and these magical worlds of... fellas out there who are racists, the other magicking world, if you will, from the Harry Potter creator, J.K. Rowling, was reported to the UK police for misgendering someone online.
Yeah, she's a TERF.
Can you explain TERF for me and the other audience members who can't quite wrap their head around what this acronym is?
She is like the definition of a TERF. She's a trans exclusionary radical feminist.
Okay.
So she believes in feminism and that females need to fight for equal rights and that a man who chops off his dick is not a female.
Okay, so here's the news on it, which I love this story. Really kind of labels our times currently. The UK's first transgender national news anchor has reported Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling to the police for quote-unquote misgendering her as a quote-unquote man on social media. India Willoughby, 58, reported having...
Does he have a dick?
I'm still not sure. This language messes with my head here. Okay. Reported having contacted Northumbria Constabulary. Wow, that's so British, man.
I know.
Constabulary? I love that, man. Yeah. All right, so over a series of X posts Sunday by the outspoken author, Rowling, also 58, called Willoughby, quote, just a man reveling in his misogynistic performance of what he thinks a woman means. Narcissistic, shallow, and exhibitionist. You know what? I'm going to rewatch all the Harry Potters now, just in honor of J.K. Rowling.
I don't know if you ever heard her like arguments for this. She literally talks about... She's very... The reason they hate her is because she's very open at the fact that she's a feminist. She fought for, you know... feminist rights and everything, and she talks about how they go against everything feminist fought for, because they these guys, not only do they pretend like they're women, they go get giant breast implants.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. And then they walk around in high heels and mini skirts, and it's like, dude, her whole life has been like fighting against that being a woman. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. These men dressing like women have a very cartoonish version of what a woman is and a misogynist.
It's like a 1950s version. Cartoon right. version of a woman
yes,
is what they're going for.
Exactly. You know? And she's more of the, I'm an intelligent business woman who created an empire. And it was maybe not even 10 years ago, we were celebrating the fact that I was one of the richest women in the world.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I'm a piece of trash because I called a man in a wig a man in a wig?
And that's the whole thing, is you fought for these rights for real women, not these men to be pretend like they're women.
Well, did you see the news on that lady fella who was trying to go big in the LGPA tour, with the ladies' golf tour?
That is so funny, dude.
I believe the guy... It was ruled he's not allowed to compete against the ladies.
I'm so happy. No, they decided nobody that was not born a woman can compete with the ladies.
All right, there you have
it. That's how it should be, man. That's how it should be. Get the fuck out of here with these dudes winning everything, you know?
Did you catch any of the Joe Rogan Experience interview with Riley Gaines? Am I getting her name right? She's the gal who is now internationally known as the only female, apparently, who opposed that gigantic behemoth dude, Leah Thomas, beating all the girls in their swimming competitions.
There was a part in it where I wanted to clip, but it was like hard to just clip for the show. But she talked about what the one thing me and you have harped on a lot. So... She talked about the fact that the first time, they didn't know he was a dude. Nobody told him he was a dude. He just walks into the locker room and starts you know what I mean? He's got a dick. He's fucking girls at the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's got a girlfriend, and he's going into this locker room changing with women. And we talked about this before. Where are the fathers? She said she had to beg and plead for her father to not walk into the locker room.
Again, I have always believed when we grew up, there would have been physical altercations that resulted in mass arrests if this was attempted.
No, dude, it's actually a really good listen. It's because she talks about how she said, like, during the whole changing thing, when, like, in the locker room, she had to, like, stop her dad, had to beg him not to go in and not to make a scene, not to do anything, right?
Oh, yeah.
But then she talks about after the competition, when they told her she wasn't going to get to keep the trophy.
Right.
She talks about how she was standing there and this 6'4 dude is holding the trophy.
Yes.
And she said all she could do is look around at all the men and be like, is no man going to step up and say something?
Thank
you. Is no man here going to do something? And it's like, yeah, it shouldn't be up to Riley Gaines. It shouldn't be up to Riley Gaines' father. It should be, there should be a man in that sport who's like running the show who looks around and goes, no, this is bullshit. You're cheating these women.
Well, I did see a little snippet of it where she does mention there was mass protest amongst the parents and how they had signed some big petition and the school basically told them to go pound sand.
Oh, yeah, go fuck themselves. Dude, and then she talks about this, this school reached out to her. The swim team at a school reached out to her after the whole thing went down because in their school, they were going to bring in a man. And so she was talking to them on how, like, I guess the school had asked them, they were going to ask the female swim team to vote on whether or not they should let the guy swim with them.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they thought they were going to all vote anonymous, but they get to the meeting. They brought in the dude who starts crying and say he's going to kill himself if they don't let him on the team.
Leah Thomas.
No. This was a different guy.
This is another dude.
Another dude at another school where the girls had reached out to Leah Thomas asking her what they should do.
All right. Okay.
The guy, like, threatened to kill himself if they didn't let him in. So then, obviously, these girls let him in, you know?
Right.
It's so sad. It's a good listen just to see where we've come in this country. I cannot believe this is even an argument.
Yes, and I think it's worth spotlighting J.K. Rowling and this Riley Gaines. They're similar in where they're the only handful of women out there willing to risk their reputations and their lives to, you know, say the truth that it seems like everybody's too afraid to admit or say out loud. You know, this
is too afraid.
We've entered this weird point in society, which was dramatically highlighted during the pandemic and the lockdowns. You know, more people than not believed the lockdowns were bullshit, believed the masks were bullshit, believed the 6 feet was bullshit, but nobody said anything. Everyone just followed the rules like good sheep because we didn't want to upset the other people.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with this whole tranny movement in as far as dudes competing with chicks. Look, you want to go transform your body biologically and physically? That's your right to do so. It's your freedom if you're an adult and, you know, you have the choice, right? That's what being an adult is all about. But if you're going to change yourself and then go crush chicks at their sport so you can win a bunch of money and go to the Olympics, well, now we're going to start putting up some red flags and we're going to start establishing some rules and boundaries, my friend.
Yeah, now I have a problem.
And then
she talked about it on the podcast. You remember when that one chick who wants to be a dude came in and they like raced against Leah Thomas, and it was like Leah Thomas, a 6'4 man, is sitting there in a female one-piece swimsuit with a dick bulge.
Oh, yeah.
And then next to him is this chick with her tits cut off and giant scars on her chest, and all she's wearing is the male swimsuit bottom. It's like, dude, that right there is the picture of we've lost our minds.
Well, I think that proves the Russian campaign to destroy our culture has finally reached its zenith.
Yeah, it worked. It worked. I can't believe people fall for this. I can't believe people are okay with this.
I mean, they have completely neutered our nuclear family and destroyed any sensibility within our social structure at this point. Up is down, left is right, in is out, man.
see that commercial with the soldier? And the trans daughter or son, whatever. I don't even know.
I'm praying it ends with him jumping out of an airplane with machine guns in both hands, blasting Iraqis, and it went, "Be all that you can be."
No, this is even worse. This is like one of the worst things. Somebody sent it to me, and it's like this commercial, or it's like this. It was like, I forgot what it was. A guy who's still in the army sent it to me. So I don't know where he got it, if it was like something that they were like trying to get them to watch or whatever.
All right.
But it's this commercial about a soldier who comes home from deployment, right?
Okay.
And he comes home and he walks into his son's room and it's all girl stuff. And then his son walks into the room. And the son's a girl.
Excuse me?
All right, so...
So now he comes home and his 9-year-old boy is now a 10-year-old girl. Okay. And the whole thing is like, the kid doesn't know how the father's going to take it. The father doesn't know how he's going to take it. And then the father just accepts it because it's still his daughter. But it's actually a boy.
Wow, well, I see an opportunity to just tweak the motto a little bit, and it can be, you know, be whatever you want to be.
Yeah, it's terrible. That's the terrible commercial. That no father wants to come home to his son being a girl.
Why is that in the commercial? Are we supposed to get people to join the army or tell them that it's okay that their son's a chick now?
That's why I think it was like a training video thing where it was like they were trying to, you know, like you should be okay with your child.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Think of the shit in the military okay, all the time. Yeah, all right. You got to do these like, you know, I know we made you a killing machine, but this is how you're supposed to act at home.
But also don't beat your wife. And if your son is gay, it's okay, right? Yeah, I could see where that is needed, definitely. Especially because who knows what they're pumping up our soldiers with to counteract whatever these social indoctrination, brainwashing mechanisms are being deployed on them through our society. I mean, people are warped right now, so we need them a little bit unwarped, I think, if they're going to be our killing machines out there in the field.
We need to just keep them killing machines. We need killing machines.
We definitely do now. Have you seen anything with Macron, my favorite EU leader out there in the French world? He's sounding the alarms and really kind of claiming everybody's got to be prepared for boots on the ground and we're going to be fighting Russia over Ukraine.
Why?
Sweden or Norway. Which one joined NATO? Sweden?
I think they both are trying.
Somebody new joined,
or
like
Finland. Finland. Because Finland's got the border with Russia.
I'm pretty sure Sweden is in, starting like yesterday or something. It's breaking news, man. I'm telling you.
Well, either way, dude, who cares about Ukraine?
Nobody, unfortunately. But we're going to
let Russia have it.
They need that World War III. I sense that we're on the cusp of some sort of financial meltdown, right? So they gotta go into World War. It's the only way to save the markets.
I guess, but man, you're going to have a hard time selling that to mothers in America, that their kids are dying for Ukraine. You know?
Right. Well, nobody wants to go fight in whatever's happening in the Middle East, so Ukraine seems a little more appetizing, I think.
It's a little better climate.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe in the summertime. It's got a nice summer.
Yeah, if you got to fight, why not fight white people? You know?
Well, maybe, speaking of the region, the place you want to be, it's not Ukraine or Sweden or these other places that we've been led to believe are so wondrous and glorious because of their socialism and all that other nonsense. I think the place you want to move to these days is our partial homeland, motherland, if you will, Mike. Poland, come on, man. You sent me a clip that I thoroughly loved, and I wanted to play on the show.
We talked about it years ago, how everybody was giving them shit, and we were like, no, everything they're saying in Poland, that's how we should be here.
Poland's got some tight borders. They really are restrictive on who can become a citizen in the country. They also are quite conservative with many of their social-based political laws.
And they got in a lot of trouble because they flat out said, we're not taking people from the Middle East, we're not taking Muslims. We will take the refugees from Ukraine because they're Christians.
And there's similar, there's probably some mixing bloodlines if you go back long enough.
It's similar cultures. Their whole point was, if you bring in, remember it was like 5-6 years ago, that the guy from Poland, he said, if you bring in, 7 million Arabics, we're no longer Poland.
Wow, that's crazy. And mostly, too, I believe Poland's message to Ukraine was, from one pumpkin head to the other, we welcome our brethren with open arms.
For the head that fat, come on in, my man.
We just, because we love, it's in our bloodline and family. So, Mike, you sent me this. I went and I think I got one that was slightly a little bit longer on each end. It's only a minute long, but it's got a little, it's got some music to it. It's pretty cool. I kind of got down with it. So it's the leader, president, prime minister. How do they do things in Poland?
I have no idea.
This is a guy from Poland.
I think you just become top jack-o'-lantern. I don't know. So
yes, yeah, that's right. King Pumpkinhead over in Poland. He's bragging about Poland being, well, Poland. So I really liked this. So let's throw it down.
7 years of your criticism and attacks on Poland. Look at that. Poland is a leader. GDP after COVID. Unemployment in Poland, one of the lowest in European Union. If you want to feel safe, come to Poland. Also your data. Poland is here. Germany is here. One of the safest place in European Union. And that's how it is in Poland. It's your data, not ours. This is Eurostat. So if you want to feel safe, be like Poland. If you are looking for low unemployment, be like Poland. If you love freedom, be like Poland. Thank you.
Yeah, be like Poland, man. I agree.
I 100% agree. It's the everybody said, like, dude, there's a lot of countries out there that are in Europe that are now dealing with, like, crazy rape. There's, like, insane amounts of rape and everything going on, and all sexual right. assaults going on.
I didn't expect you to say that. I didn't know that was a huge...
It's a huge
ongoing
thing
issue right now. Wow.
Muslim men from the Middle East, it's in the Quran.
Not just that, Mike. Did you see the case? It was all over NPR and AP News. The lady in India... They were tourists, her and her husband, they got gang raped?
Well, he didn't. They just beat him up while they gang raped his wife.
Oh, really? Because the way it was phrased in the article, I was like, wow, they raped both of them? I thought that, that was a little primitive, but all right. I mean, I could see it, you know?
It was terrible. They beat me up. They raped her. And then it got really bad.
That's when things took a turn for the worse.
That's when they turned their dicks on me. Oh, my God. I told them, take my wife.
A lot of rape going on in the last year or so, especially with the October 7th situation over there. And then apparently there's raping going on back and forth in that region. And then they're...
Oh, you didn't see... Dude, it was like... I think it was Sweden or one of them. One of the Nordic countries. They were saying they didn't have a rape for like 9 years.
Wow.
And now they're facing like something like 50, 60 a year.
That's crazy, man. Yeah.
Dude, it's these Muslim men. I'm not trying to make fun of them. I'm not trying to be like racist or anything here.
Absolutely
but
not.
It's in the Quran that they don't give a fuck about non-Muslim women.
That's terrible. You know? Yeah, man. And it's wild to think that here we are. In my mind, it feels like we're in the future, or we should be, but we're kind of living more in the past. We got all the segregation going on here. We got rampant rape sweeping through the European continent because of the migrant situation. Who knows what the migrant situation will bring here in America? Maybe we could welcome in our own... you know what? Trump is starting to seem more prophetic by the day when he emerged from that escalator and said those famous words. You know, folks, they're not bringing their best. Bringing drug dealers, rapists, murderers, some I assume are good people.
No, he's absolutely right.
It's Crazy stuff, man.
We have this false idea that in these Western worlds that we are in the future, because we are in the future. We live in a time where, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't give a fuck what you believe. You can be my neighbor. You know what I mean? And we could work together. You know what I mean? We could even be good friends. Our kids could be friends. You know, I don't care. But that's not how they feel. They feel it is their obligation to God. They are on a mission from God to either convert you or kill you. That's, you know what I mean? And we are in the future. We are living in 2024. They're living in the 1300s, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think this sums it up right here, actually.
We're on a mission from God.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
I don't know where I dug that one up from.
Mission from God.
Yeah, they are, definitely. And it's weird that we're so welcoming in of of accepting all that again, since we're kind of a product of the post-9/11 gang of people where we were basically banning you if you weren't down with the Freedom Fries, right? If you were French fry guy, you're out of here, pal, because you support the Muslims.
Dude, and that's why I like these protesters for Hamas and shit, for Palestine. It's like, all right, dude, if you're 20 years old, I forgive you. You know, if you're 18, 20, you weren't alive during 9/11. You know, but if you're over 30 and you're protesting for these people, just shame on you, dude. You need, those are the people we need to just arrest, lock them up forever. They're retarded.
Well, it's crazy. We had that fella from the Air Force who set himself on fire about 2 weeks ago, which we've all forgotten really quickly, in the name of the Hamas people and the Gaza Strip. And what's even crazier about that is a very famous name out there has allegedly claimed he would set himself on fire if Trump won in 2024, Rob Reiner. Throwing his name. I saw it on the interwebs out there somewhere. I don't know if it was actually true or not.
Listen, people, forget about the economy. Forget about the border. Can we not just get this guy to burn himself alive? 4 years of Trump has to be, no matter how much you hate him, gotta be worth seeing Rob Reiner let him light himself on fire. Fuck that guy.
I'm excited for that. Look, Trump is going to probably win just simply on the imagery coming out of New York City. Do you want more liberal policies that lead to having armed forces to protect your subway systems?
Yeah, the National Guard.
Did you see of that footage?
All right? They need to do for campaign ads for Trump is just play clips of Eric Adams.
Yes. Just play his voice over the images of the National Guard patrolling and checking people's bags.
Checking bags in the subway, dude.
That's how bad it got. It's
what
so
kind of dystopian
crazy.
Fucking world have you created?
We talked about it leading up to the event, and then it occurred, and I have to say, it kind of played out exactly as I imagined. We witnessed a testing, essentially, of martial law. That's what martial law looks like, folks.
Yeah, they check your bags. That is kind of...
And they originally kind of dabbled in this. Back when we had the Boston Marathon bombing and they locked everybody in their homes, it was one of the first lockdowns of a major city.
Yes. And then they went home to home.
With the military, man.
Remember that? And remember that one cop came on the TV and he was like, listen, if we see any illegal activity, we're overlooking it. We're not here for your illegal activity.
Right.
We're here for those guys. Yeah. But tomorrow, when you're not looking for those guys, you're still going to remember my illegal activity. You know what I mean? Unless you got the fucking Men in Black memory eraser, you're still going to remember that you saw all the drugs and money in my house.
Yes. So that was a bit of a shocking wake-up call. I found it interesting that it was all the talk of the news, then it happened, the footage swept through the cycle, and I think people got a little creeped out from the imagery. That's not how America's supposed to feel or look, but maybe that's where you've brought your major urban areas to the brink of. Now we need to bring in the military. Yeah. Is that a place where you want to go start a new business?
Well, no, you're right. That's not how America looks. It's not. That's how New York looks. That's how Chicago's about to look. That's how San Francisco, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's how Democrat cities are going to look very soon.
And the,
but the rural Americas, they're still in regular America.
Right. Yeah. And these Democrat cities, these Democrat leaders, they love locking you down, making you wear the mask, your muzzle, you know, and they really love the idea of defunding your cops because of, you know, St. George Floyd, but also at the same time, let's bring in the National Guard, patrol these streets. This is an upgrade. This is freedom. And don't vote for the other guy. He's a dictator. Right? The other guy's a dictator, man.
You're right. The other guy's a dictator. He never once sent the National Guard into a city. Yeah, it's crazy what they're doing.
So there is rampant, endless Trump derangement syndrome everywhere you go and everywhere you look. People are scared of the MAGA, and I checked in on the Bill Maher real time this weekend, and starting with his interview with Robert De Niro, where De Niro claimed, without evidence, or without historical evidence, based on the fact that for 4 years, Trump never did it, but Robert De Niro claimed that Trump, if he's elected, will round up Robert De Niro and Bill Maher and real time with Bill Maher and put all these people in some sort of concentration camp.
Well, no, dude, because Donald Trump, dude, there was a protest against Donald Trump, and so he locked up 700 people. Oh, no, that was the Democrat.
That's right.
Yeah. No, but don't you remember when Donald Trump, he sent the DOJ to arrest a guy who was reporting on a protest? That was Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's right.
So the only people locking up reporters and going after political opponents is the Democrats. I haven't seen one person in jail because they protested Donald Trump.
Yeah. Again, Trump derangement syndrome. It's one of my favorite kind of catch-all catchphrases for people like the maniacs over on Morning Joe or Bill Maher when he talks about Jan 6th. Or basically any legacy media channel at this point, and the late night Jimmys.
Talking about Bill Maher, the centrist.
Yes,
he's a centrist who believes January 6th was the greatest insurrection of all time, and that Donald Trump said drink bleach, and that Joe Biden saved the economy.
Yes.
He's a centrist.
So, Bill had Max Brooks. He's the son of Mel Brooks on this week's show. Did you catch any of this episode?
No, I didn't watch it, to be honest.
All right. Well, like I said, it was
a little busy.
Totally filled up with the Trump derangement syndrome. But I noticed something really bleeding through kind of the narrative. And this was especially being echoed out through the chambers following Biden's bizarre State of the Union screams session. Biden delusional syndrome. These people see, but Emma and I watched this and we were both saying like, what out loud? Like what are these people? How are they seeing this? This is delusional.
Oh dude, I can't tell you how many people are like, did you see the speech? And I'm like, yeah, he was slurring his mic. He has a stutter. Oh, the stutter that went away for his 40 years in Congress, but now that he's 80-year-old president, the stutter. It was the stutter.
That's right.
Yeah. Stutter. I know the difference. I'm a drunk. I know the difference between a stutter and a slur.
Got the Trump derangement syndrome. We know how to spot that, but now we got a new one, and you got to pay attention when it comes out. It's very funny, and it's the Biden delusional syndrome, and I've got Max Brooks here pouring it on thick. He makes this outrageous claim before this clip I give, and it's a quick one, but he throws out that Joe Biden is the best president in the last 50 years.
According to MSNBC, He's 14th best of all time.
I know, 14th best, but he makes this definitive statement to which Bill out loud reacts like, you know, I think it was just his muscle reaction where he goes, oh, wow. He's like, wow, really? All right. Like, all right, man. To the point where a little bit later in the conversation, Bill kind of brings it up as a quick jab, and this moron defends his claim now that Joe Biden is the best president in the last 50 years. All right?
I gotta hear this.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Okay, here's Max Brooks defending his statement that Joe Biden is the best president in the last 50 years.
I also don't think he's the best president in 50 years. I don't know where you're getting that.
Well, what I'm getting at is
that... Wasn't Obamacare itself a bigger thing?
No, it is a big thing. But what he's doing is he is the first long-term president in my lifetime. All right? Every president, that even the ones I like, have always had this message of, if you vote for me, you're going to have a great now today. Biden's attitude is, I ain't going to live to see half the fruits of my labor, but your kids and your grandkids are going to live in a better world. He is the better tomorrow president. The chips, the reindustrializing, the infrastructure, none of this is going to show instant results. But there has not been a president like this since FDR.
Well, I...
FDR? That's right. This guy's comparing Biden to FDR. Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous.
You caught me off guard. I had to pee. Dude, that was... I thought it was going to be a longer clip.
I told you, it was a quick one.
Oh, I had to pee so bad. They got me on steroids. They're making me piss like every hour.
Oh, man. I imagine you didn't have time to shake.
No, not at all. Dribbling right now down the leg.
21 seconds, I believe, is what you need usually. Isn't that what we established? The 21 seconds, man. It's a survival.
And that's for an elephant that's not drinking.
That's right, dude.
I love how Bill Maher had to push back on that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Best in 50 years, outrageous. And then the guy doubles down and says, no, we haven't had a guy like Joe Biden since FDR.
I know. That is crazy.
It's Biden delusional syndrome, man.
And he's thinking long term? Dude, everything he has done has been for short. He pulled out of Afghanistan for a short-term gain in the polls, and it backfired. Just because everything he did backfired doesn't mean it's for long-term gains. No, it just failed in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, yes. No, you're right. Everything he's done is short-term. He's the most short-term president of all time. He's just randomly giving back loans to various groups of people for no reason, just to win back votes.
Yeah, the student loan debt, that's a long-term gain for the country?
That's right, man.
How? I would love to see the math on that.
Yeah, man, or the cut in checks, the extending of the pandemic relief packages that they inexplicably rolled through to May 2023. We were in the pandemic emergency till May of last year, folks.
That's... How about the $150 billion you sent to Ukraine? That's a long-term investment?
Yes, of course.
Well,
right?
It's got to be a long-term investment because in the short term, we've lost it all. It all disappeared in suitcases across the Ukraine border. So I hope it's long-term.
Oh, man. Isn't that a wacky statement, dude? And the whole show was
insane,
infused with wild and insane statements, like I said, starting with Robert De Niro's interview in the beginning and all the way through to the final thoughts or new rules or whatever he does. It was good stuff. Very middle-of-the-road centrist entertainment. And they definitely weren't spewing cockamamie nonsense.
It's insane how left-wing he is. To actually, he says it so much. You know for sure he believes he's in the center. He believes he's only voting for Democrats because they're putting up the better candidate.
Yes.
He doesn't think it's just because he's biased. And I can't get this through to a lot of the Democrats. Is the big difference between you Democrats and the Republicans is Republicans admit that what they're dealing with is opinion. You know what I mean?
They're Democrats. Yes, they're on a feeling.
What's up?
They're on a feeling.
not only on a feeling, they believe their feelings are facts.
Right.
They believe that because I feel like a woman should have a choice to abortion, it is a fact that women should have the right to abortion. It's like, no, that's your opinion. I have a feeling we should support Hamas in Gaza. Okay, that's not a fact. That is your opinion on where our foreign aid should go. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
You hear it all the time, especially with the Israel-Gaza thing, where these people come out and they're just like, you know, they talk about like just right versus objective right versus wrong. And it's like, dude, there is no objective opinion when it comes to Israel and Palestine. There is no objective opinion. There's just opinion. It's whoever you feel, you should support. And it's fine that you feel like you should support the Muslims. That's fine. I feel like we should support the Jews. So there is no facts. It's opinions, you know?
Yeah, and we are in this weird warp as a country, but especially in these liberal places where we do everything based on opinion and feelings. And we're starting to see a backlash to it. Oregon, which is one of the top places for rolling on a feeling and doing things based on opinions, they, I don't know if you know this, they decriminalized drug possession about a year ago, 2 years ago.
All drug possession.
And it was, I think, reported in the Associated Press about 5 or 6 days ago. Oregon lawmakers passed a bill to, you guessed it, recriminalize drug possession. They've gone back, man. They said, whoops, that was a huge mistake.
Huge mistake. Yeah, because I know you guys have a feeling that these drug addicts are just good people who fell into drugs. But when you decriminalize drugs and you make it okay to be a drug addict, you end up just inviting all the drug addicts in the country.
Yes, man. It's just like the migrant situation or even just a homeless situation. If you reward homelessness or reward being a newcomer, like they like to call them here in Denver, well, then more of these newcomers will come. And they're going to come. They want to get those benefits that you're providing them.
Here's the problem with the Oregon. Anybody who's ever been to any kind of like addiction therapy or has had to deal with addiction, it's all about the enablers. You cannot be a drug addict without enablers. You have to have people around you that enable you to be the drug addict.
Yes.
And you go, Oregon, you just created a whole society of enablers. We will enable you to do the drugs. And then what you get is all these drug addicts who are not getting better. They're getting worse because you're enabling their drug use. I know I'm just a stupid plumber and half Polish. That's got to be that's a two. I'm one strike away from being retarded.
You got some of that pumpkin head in you there. That's right.
A little bit, you know?
Hey, be like Poland, folks.
A Polish plumber, that almost sounds like a slur. Did you just call me retarded? Polish plumber, no, I don't have Down syndrome. What?
I find it so funny here in Denver and just Colorado as a whole, we're dealing with the migrant issue, and they keep blaming it on the federal government, Republicans over in D.C., when it has nothing to do with anybody in D.C. or any side of the aisle politically. The reason the migrants are here, the reason why the homeless are here, is because
drug addicts.
You cut them checks for being homeless, you cut them checks for being migrants. And they're just going to keep rolling in as long as the checks and the free stay and hotel is there. If you were to say, you know what, we're not a sanctuary and no more free checks, people would stop showing up at your door.
Dude, that's such a good call. In Chicago, they're like, oh, it's the Republicans' fault that we have all these homeless drug addicts. And you're like, okay, well, Chicago, what have you done to counter the drug addicts and the homelessness?
Right.
Well, Mike, we've given them free needle exchanges. We offered them, we gave them free tents, and we allowed them to live wherever they want in the city. What? I mean, I don't know. I don't got to be a genius here. You know what I'm saying?
Here in Denver, Mayor Mike Johnston, I think he just eclipsed his first full year in office, and his big promise was to house 1,000 homeless. He claims to have housed 1,200 homeless. But if you do a little digging and check out some of the reporting, he definitely got like 1,200 of them into these hotels, right? But they're not there still now. You know, they're back on the streets, man. So,
no, they had a night. We give them a shower.
That's right. Most of them turned violent. The cops had to be called. There were just a lot of terrible incidents that occurred as a result of bringing in a bunch of, you know, mentally ill drug addicts and housing them in a building together with no supervision, essentially.
Dude, I forgot what the name of the building is. It's like this famous hotel in downtown Chicago. It was like built in the 1870s or some shit, right?
Yeah.
And there was like this big news about 6 months ago that the city bought all the rooms out.
All right. Nice. Because
they were going to house the homeless there.
Yeah, right? Man.
It was great. Everybody, oh, yeah, celebrating. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's on the north side. So it's the white rich people.
All right.
You know? Yeah. 6 months later, breaking news, the owner selling the hotel because there's so much damage, he doesn't think he can recoup the
money. Wow. Of course.
Like, what? Yes. Obviously. You can't give a drug addict homeless guy a hotel room and not expect him to. He destroyed his life. You don't think he's going to destroy your hotel room?
Right. Yeah. And he's a drug addict. You haven't. What's funny to me is these politicians, they can run on this idea of, oh, we're going to house these homeless because that's their issue. They don't have a home. No, it's not the issue. Yeah. They have mental illness. They don't know how to
mental
live their life.
Drug
like,
addiction.
Yes. Well, and they probably go hand in hand.
We need to sober them up and then give them mental health treatment. We should not give. One of the things that you forgot is in Oregon, one of the craziest things they passed in that bill was if you're on welfare now, you have to take a drug test.
Right.
And that used to be like the, dude, I don't know if you remember when Donald Trump mentioned that, but that was like the big, I mean, I remember even our mom being like, this is, how could you? Just a mother of four depends on this food money, these food stamps, just because she smoked a little weed. Like, okay. All right. Here we are now. Oregon is doing it. So,
yeah, it's a pendulum swing. Like I keep saying, you guys went so hard on these freedoms, and I get it. I'm all for freedoms, right? But I think there's a lot of gray area here when it comes to the criminalization of drugs. You're catching people doing dope. I don't think you should be, they shouldn't be going to the maximum security penitentiary. You know, they should probably go to a rehab or an institution where they can get help. Maybe we could kind of.
But if you don't, if you decide to not take the help, we lock you up.
Well, I believe there's repeat offenders.
Here's my big thing is there's a very big difference between freedom and a free society, right?
That's right.
Freedom for Frank is Frank can go do whatever Frank wants.
Yeah.
Right, you could go kill, you could go rape, you could pillage, you could do, or you could just stay home and do all the drugs you want. Either way, freedom would be Frank can do whatever he wants. Free society is Frank can do whatever he wants as long as it doesn't infringe on the rights of the others in the society.
Oh, that sounds a little bit more civil. I think I like that one actually.
Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
Frank
man.
Can still do what he wants, but Frank can't just get high on PCP and run down the highway naked.
Well, that sounds fun, though. I don't know, man.
Yeah, right?
I mean, PCP, nudity, freeway, yeah.
More fun than I've ever done on a weekend.
That's
but
right,
I gotta tell you, we can't have people naked running on the freeway. So, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. We only want our naked people dancing erotically in front of children during the month of June on Pride Parade. That's where we want our...
I'm trying to say there's a time and a place. For, you know,
for our fat
you
dudes.
You want to wave your dick in a five-year-old's face, there's a time and a place.
That's right. You could do it on the highway during the month of June during Pride Week, all right? That's when you're allowed to do it.
I'm talking about free society, yeah?
Oh, man, yeah, civil society, right? Civilization? Yeah, man.
Well, you need to have civility to be a civil society.
Okay, I get it, and I'm down, and yeah, I dig on the restricted freedom, I guess, that we have agreed to.
It's not even restricted freedom. It's a matter of we could give Frank all the freedom, right? But then you're going to do what you want, and that's going to limit certain people's freedoms. Or we could just give everybody the maximum amount of freedom that we can give everybody. You know what I'm saying?
I want the Diddy freedom. What's the Diddy freedom? How do you sign up for Diddy freedom, where you can just murder people and have orgies and nobody takes you down?
First of all, you got to make $1 billion, and you suck some old Jewish guy's dick. It's not all it's cracked up to be, Frank. You know
where's Matt? Saying? Where's Matt Rife at? I want to find out who he is talking to.
I'm broke, but I suck zero dicks. You know what I'm saying? To get to where I'm at, which is my grandma's basement. You know.
Yeah, did they bury the Diddy story because he's like entertainment Epstein?
It is kind of weird. They are kind of trying to hide it, huh?
A lot of weird stuff came out, and I think they got a little nervous when Cuba Gooding Jr.'s name entered the frame.
Oh, not Cuba.
Yeah, Cuba was a part of these soirees on the yachts, man. Yeah,
he's
Cuba.
Gay too.
Dude, I've told you this. The funniest part about Cuba being indicted for being on a gay sex orgy yacht hosted by Diddy was that he was in a movie that killed his career where he inadvertently bought tickets to a gay boat trip with his friend. It was called, and the movie's called Boat Trip.
That's right.
Yeah. Cuba.
Do you know what I saw the other day, which I couldn't believe he was in? I still can't believe he was in it. Rat Race.
Oh, everybody's in Rat Race, though. I mean,
such a good, underrated movie, man.
They got everyone in that one, and it's a remake of an old flick from, like, the 60s, where they, too, in that one, like, I think Dean Martin's in it, and Frank Sinatra, and it's just it's similar in getting all the celebrities of the time involved.
Is it? I never saw the old one.
We'll probably get one. Is it Rat Race? You called it Rat Race? Is that what it was?
Rat Race. Dude, it came out 2001.
All right.
This is like July 2001. This is pre 9/11, man.
Wow.
45 of Rotten Tomatoes? Oh, fuck. 85% with the audience. Fuck yourself.
That's how you know, yeah. Who was in it? I'm sure Kurt Russell was involved or something, and they buried it.
Dude, you got Rowan Atkinson, which I don't know who that guy is.
You do?
He's the guy that played Mr. Bean!
Yeah, I know Mr. Bean. All right, yeah, man. Huge Mr.
John Cleese. Whoopi Goldberg's in it.
Wow, Whoopi.
Cuba Gooding, Amy Smart.
Yeah, I thought they remade the Rat Race. We'll probably get a current Rat Race with our new catalog of celebrities.
Oh, dude, you know who's in it? It's Newman. You know what's funny? Is I just looking at this cast, it's everybody who I know as a character, but not their actual name.
Newman is Wayne Knight, and
yeah.
He had my favorite role, or my favorite role of his, it was on Third Rock from the Sun. He was the lover, or you know, of the second in command. Yeah, the tall blonde. But I think also...
She was fucking smoking for the day, man. Remember how hot she was? I was like,
yeah,
in love with
pretty
that
sure
chick.
She was a supermodel of some sort, if I'm not mistaken.
I was in love with that chick.
Yeah, man. She was a babe, and Wayne Knight got to be her love interest. And I think he also played a mailman on that show. He may have been typecast. He also was in Jurassic Park, too. He gets...
Oh, that's my favorite role.
Yeah, that's right, dude. Yes, that's right, man. You didn't say the magic word. Yeah.